Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
On News Talk.
And you better start swimming or you'll sink like a stone. Oh, the times they are a-changing.
Alan Buckley from the Irish Rock and Roll Museum Experience is with me in studio this Thursday afternoon to tell us about the making of Bob Dylan's The Times They Are A-Changing.
Yes, indeed. Now, we have gone back occasionally, but we haven't gone this far back. So we're now back in 1964. And what we have here, and of course, Bob Dylan, he'll be coming to Ireland in the next couple of months. He's a man who is in his 80s at this point. He is he's a bit of an enigma. He's loved. He's sometimes overstated by some people, sometimes underrated by people. But you can't ignore Bob Dylan. He effectively has had more influence, I would say, on modern music than any other single artist who is still going at this time.
So was this his first album?
No, but this is the interesting thing about why I've chosen it. It's actually his third album, but it's the first one where it was all Bob Dylan songs.
Okay.
So Bob Dylan, or should I say Robert Zimmerman, came from, you know, a place in Minnesota, tiny little town. He was a Jewish kid, an unlikely American folk hero. But he became completely enamored with the folk music of America, and particularly a man called Woody Guthrie. Woody Guthrie had Dust Bowl Ballads, the story of the American Depression and all of that. He had become very ill, and Bob Dylan actually traveled to New York, partly to pursue his career, partly so he could visit Woody Guthrie, his hero. So the early two albums of Bob Dylan are very much reworking some original work, but reworking not just of Woody Guthrie songs, but of these old kind of American folk standards.
Okay.
But this is him putting down a marker of just Bob.
So let's take a listen to some of the singles from the track.
The cavalry's charged, the Indians died. Oh, the country was young with God on its side.
That is with God on our side, and it's quite a long song, and it's a bit, you know, someone could describe it as a bit of a dirge. But what he actually manages to do is in about 13 verses, he actually manages to depict every conflict that the United States has ever been involved with and how it evolved the consciousness of America with regards to war, who they are as a people. So what he's saying in this song is that in every conflict, they seem to come out on the right side of history. Mm. Why? Because they had God on their side. So the Indians charged, the Indians died. Well, it was okay because we had God on our side. And he talks about how that reflects on the American consciousness. This is a big album. It's a big statement about the times. And he's exploring these big American themes.
Yeah, and is the whole album like this?
Oh, very much so. I mean, don't get me wrong. There's love songs on here. There's slightly more whimsical things. But Bob Dylan said, although he kind of distances himself from the idea of being a protest singer, he said he wanted to write a big album. He wanted to write something that said something about the times.
And is all his music political?
Absolutely,
or politically charged?
100% not. He defies that kind of characterization. But, you know, you can take a person out of the times, as it were, but you can't take the times out of the person. This is the middle of the 60s. It's the civil rights movement. The times they are changing. The title track, which we listened to first, is a statement in itself. And Sam Cooke, the great soul singer of the time, was so blown away by that song. He was like, well, why aren't I writing this song? I'm a black man in America. I'm experiencing the things that he is talking about in this song. It actually inspired Sam Cooke, this album, to go and write the song A Change Gonna Come. And he kind of said, Bob Dylan, with this white kid from nowhere, is writing this music. And it had such a profound effect. And that last song is just amazing.
Who carried the dishes and took out the garbage and never sat once at the head of the table and didn't even
So this is the lonesome death of Hattie Carroll, and this is a true story. So this is very much returning to that idea of the American ballad depicting something that genuinely happened. 1963, a maid, a server in a restaurant, Hattie Carroll, she was an older black lady working there. She was murdered by a guest, a man called William Zenzinger, who was a wealthy socialite, farm owner, plantation owner, I should say. This is not that long ago when we think about it, 1963. And in a fit of rage, out of some perceived slight, he attacked this woman with a cane and he murdered her. And the song is about... tells the story of the people involved, gives their backgrounds. I mean, this is the strength of Dylan, is that although, you know, you have to stay with him in terms of his musical style, his attention to detail is incredible. And each verse ends with, you know, now ain't the time for your tears, because you've just heard something awful and we're expecting you to react to it now. But the real twist comes when William Zenzinger gets a 6-month sentence for what he did in this, because Hattie Carroll was seen as an unimportant person. He was a Baltimore higher class sort of person. Yeah. And the real twist in this and the irony is that all the terrible things that he depicts in this song, the real twist is that justice is not served. And very much, again, that idea of the protest song by a guy who says he never wrote protest songs.
So he never thinks straight about the shape that he's in, but it ain't him to blame. He's only a pawn in their game. From the poverty shack.
Only a pawn in their game. Again, similar. I know.
Yeah.
But again, this is it's a true story. American civil rights activist Medgar Evers is murdered. But the interesting thing about this song is it's not just simply about the civil rights movement in terms of, right, let's get on board and make America... dare I say, better place, not going to trying to recapture a modern slogan, but it is about trying to identify with the people who are being used, the poor white people who are pawns in the game. And it connects obviously with real events. And I know there's people who are listening who are huge Dylan fans are saying, Alan, why didn't you pick Slow Train Coming? Why didn't you do Blood on the Tracks? And these are amazing albums. You could pick any one of like 20 Dylan albums. But this is stripped back Dylan. This is him, his most authentic voice at the time.
And as you said a little earlier, his third album as well. How successful was this?
It didn't do amazingly in America at the time. There was a proliferation of this kind of folk revival at the time.
What about here?
It did brilliantly, particularly in Britain, actually, because he was seen, there was a huge desire. There was even a kind of a counter movement to rock and roll at the time. People didn't like the electric instruments. They wanted that authentic voice. They still had this deep love for folk. And actually, by his fifth album, he goes electric and famously performs a song called Maggie's Farm at a festival where someone shouts out, Judas! And when he toured Britain with that tour, he was panned. He was basically, people were banging on his car window as he left the gigs. You know, go back, do the thing we like, do the thing we like. And, you know, I know this is very stripped back and it's very, very bare and his voice is what it is, but his ability to tell the truth and his ability to tell a story in a song, I think Dylan is incomparable.
Is this the song from this, was maybe the second song from this particular album that people are most likely to know?
I think so. Now, we're going to close with my favourite song from the album. And it's a love song, but it's also a song that's about the love that goes wrong. It's about a guy who's going away and he's saying to his wife or his sweetheart, I'm going away for a long time and I might be a little bit late coming back. Can I send you anything that would make it easier? But it becomes apparent in the song that he's not coming back. And what he wants to do is send her a gift to ease his conscience. The song is called Boots of Spanish Leather. And if there's a moment in the song where he asks her a third time, can I send you anything? And she says, oh, how can you ask me again? It only brings me sorrow. The same thing I will want today, I will want again tomorrow. The man is a genius, and it is gorgeous.
Yeah. He's still touring.
He's still touring. He's still going. And if we do this for another 20 years, Andrea, we will still probably not have any other musician that's won the Nobel Prize for Literature. He is the only musical artist to be ever awarded 2016 Nobel Prize for Literature, and that is a recognition of the man's ability to write a song. If you've never seen Bob Dylan, I know his voice isn't what it used to be, and what it used to be was questionable, but he's on the bucket list of artists to see. I have seen him. I'll try and see him again. He is just one of the most important musicians that's ever existed.
Alan Buckley from the Irish Rock and Roll Museum Experience. Alan, thanks a million for coming in today to join us to tell us a little bit about the making of Bob Dylan's The Times They Are A-Changin'.
And the diamonds from the deepest ocean, I'd forsake them all for your sweet kiss. For that's all I'm wishing to be owning.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
Weekdays at midday on News Talk.